What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computer's weekly tech podcast. This is episode 206. This episode is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that gives us a little kickback and keeps the podcast on going. With me is my co-host Ryan. What's up, Ryan?
Not much. Just we're still recovering from CES, like you were talking.
I think Ryan's Ryan needs more recovery than I do. Yeah, yep. He's feeling it pretty bad. I'm actually still feeling it. Like this, and just kind of like sluggish. The things here are like a little sluggish after barely any sleep. And
yeah, like Monday and Tuesday mornings were super hard to get up, and I was like dead tired at work all day. It was horrible. Today I felt a little better, but tonight I'm like running down again.
Yeah, so it's been I think everybody gets the CES hangover, right? So yeah, you know, you one thing I'm actually really happy about is that I did not get sick. I was sick ahead of it. So the day we got to CES, I like was just getting over being sick, which is pretty nice. You know what I mean? Like I would rather get sick before CES or after, but I didn't get sick during, which would have been the worst. Some of our friends got sick, and that's just never a good thing.
Right.
So I didn't get sick after either. I was actually surprised. I was like waiting. I was like, you know, day after I'm going to get a cold. You know, we saw a lot of people after got sick, but I didn't get sick at all. But I still am pretty tired. It's been, it's just, like I said, you're jet lag, two, you just haven't slept for days, I feel. So yeah, when you haven't crazy. Slept for days and
you've Chad thinks we're old. We're just old. I get it.
Yeah.
It's fine. I'll take it.
Yeah, Kayla thinks we're old. We'll put her little, but we're not old. We just did a lot of work and everything like that. So, but we are going to be doing our CES wrap up. So this is going to be our wrap up show. We're pretty much going to talk about everything that happened at CES that we covered for the most part, and just, talk about the show, some cool things that we saw. We're not going to cover everything that we've written on the website. You guys can find that at thinkcomputers.org/CES2020. That is our dedicated CES page. So you guys can go ahead on there and check all of that out. But to start off, we actually launched a review this week, which was a CES launch product. Yep. And that was Corsair's K95 RGB Platinum XT. The K95 RGB Platinum, that came out in 2017, I think. Yeah. Which was like the kind of like, if you're going for a full size keyboard, that was like the standard, right? Had everything, great construction, just a great overall keyboard. And when I found out that Corsair was, coming out with a new version of the Platinum XT, I was actually really excited. But this upgrade is sort of like a minimal upgrade. You're not getting a change to the overall design, which in my opinion, I don't think needs changed.
It's a pretty good looking keyboard.
Yeah.
I think the design's pretty great.
Don't fix something that's not broken. Sure. So you still have the full layout, full number pad. You have a set of 6 G keys on the side that can be programmed and things like that. The big upgrade, which I think is a very important one, is that you're now getting PBT double shot keycaps.
A little extra quality to the product there, I think.
Yeah, and in PBT double shot keycaps, we have seen them on a few, major company keyboards, but they're mostly on sort of enthusiast grade keyboards. A lot of people are buying, their own double shot keycaps to put on their current keyboard and things like that. So, if you're not familiar with double shot keycaps, they're made a lot better. They feel so much better. And the thing that happens, and it's happened on so many of my keyboards, is your after a while, your keys will kind of get a shine to them, and the guides will actually rub off over time. If you're using a keyboard a lot, it will happen. PBT double shot keycaps, they won't have that, and they feel a lot better. So normal keycaps are made out of ABS plastic. This is a double shot process. It's just so much better. It's kind of like night and day. If you've used double shot keycaps compared to normal keycaps, you know it's night and day. So that's just one great upgrade to this keyboard. The second has to do with the G keys. So again, you have these six G keys here. And the big thing with the upgrade here, I wish I had them. I actually did have them. Oh, here they are.
Because they're blue, right?
Yeah, let me grab them real quick. So with the keyboard, you're going to get a set of these keys, which say S on them, and they're blue. And the reason for that is because Corsair did acquire Elgato maybe a year or 2 years ago. And this is one of the first products that's sort of going to incorporate their software. So within Stream Deck, if you have a Stream Deck, you can actually enable the G keys to be Stream Deck functions, which adds more functionality if you're a streamer, which is kind of nice. It's actually good to see Corsair kind of integrating Elgato stuff into their own products. I would assume this just makes it easier for the streamer. Instead of, you know, reaching over my key, I can just write down on my keyboard, I can reach over and press something, and it just gives me more functionality, right? Because a Stream Deck Mini only has, what, 6 buttons on it?
The Mini, I think, is 6. Yeah. The regular one is 15.
Yeah, so if you have a Mini, you know, this adds, you basically double your amount of keys or amount of buttons that you have. So that's a nice upgrade as well. They've also upgraded the wrist rest, or the palm rest. So before, it was sort of double-sided with rubber. Now they've kind of added this nice cushion with this kind of fake leather. It feels a lot better, I think. It's just, you know, it's just another upgrade. But besides that, the keyboard's essentially the same. Cherry MX key switches.
Before you go past that, I just want to touch on those the G keys and, you know, the interaction with the Stream Deck. So it just got me thinking, and I don't know why I didn't think of this sooner, right? Like, I'm really happy that they've added that and you have the interaction with the Stream Deck. Do you think that we will see those G keys go from a mechanical switch to a Stream Deck type key with a screen?
I don't know.
Or up above like the F keys?
I would think eventually you'll see something like that incorporated into a Corsair product or into a Corsair keyboard. Or they might make a keyboard specifically for streamers, right? Wouldn't that be great?
I think it'd be awesome.
Yeah, I mean, add it on a rail on the top. Obviously, with this design, there's a lot of room. Mm-hmm. So I think that we could see a product like that in the future. Maybe this is a test to see, okay, how many people are using that functionality, right? Because I'm sure they can track that in the software, I assume, maybe. I don't know.
It's kind of Big Brother-ish, because if they can track that, they can track your keystrokes. So
maybe, yeah, I guess. But, you know, like, it's kind of like, you know, this might be the first test, but it would be really cool to see a, you know, this keyboard with a Stream Deck basically built in. I mean, it technically is basically built in, but with the, what are those, OLED? What are those? LCD?
I don't know.
Yeah, but with the ones that you can configure and change them and everything like that, that would be super cool. Like I said, that would be really cool. And there actually was a keyboard years ago that we reviewed.
You guys did review it?
Yeah, a long time ago.
Was it the Optimus or something?
The Optimus was just basically like a Stream Deck, but it was a keyboard. It was very, very cool. Besides that, the keyboard's essentially the same. You know, works with IQ. Everybody knows about IQ. I don't need to tell you guys all that much about it. They have updated like their connectors. This is much like what's on you saw with your headset, just kind of like a nicer finish on the USB connectors and things like that. The price is the same as the previous K95 RGB Platinum. So it stays the same price, which is $199.99. Mm-hmm. If you have a Platinum XT right now, I don't see a reason to upgrade. There is no reason to upgrade unless... even with the extra keys, maybe if you're a streamer and you have a Stream Deck and you really need extra keys, you know what I mean? But if you have a K95 Platinum XT and you want the PPT keycaps, you can get a keycap set for like $25, which would work fine. You know what I mean? Yeah. So you really don't need to upgrade to this keyboard. But if you're, you know, somebody buying a new keyboard, this is a great choice. It's kind of like, again, the standard when it comes to a full-size keyboard. It does have the RGB lighting. I really didn't talk about that because I feel like RGB lighting is kind of a given per key. You can do much. You can do a lot. There is a top part up here as well that will. It's just like I think there's 17. I think there's 17 or 18 different lighting zones actually in the light bar. So you can fully configure that if you want. I gave it a 9 out of 10. The only reason I gave it a 9 is because, again, no reason to upgrade if you have the Platinum XT already. Really, no reason to upgrade. I like the upgrades that they put into it. It's, again, it's really kind of hard to add more to a already great product. It does everything it's supposed to do. You know, it's really hard to again add on to such a great product. But I like their upgrades. If you're buying a new keyboard, full size, this is definitely one that I would recommend for sure. And then before we get into our CES stuff, one thing I didn't mention is that we do have our show notes. It is listed in the description of our video. But you can follow us along if you guys are on the live stream and you want to follow along. That has everything that we're about to talk about. But one thing I did want to talk about is our contest. It's still going on, and it will allow you to win a Thermaltake Tough Power PF1 ARGB 850-watt power supply. It's a long name. Yep. And a pack of the Ring Trio 12 RGB fans. It's a three-pack. They're 120-millimeter fans. 7 days left. So just a week left on this contest, a bunch of different ways to enter, super easy to enter as well. We do all of our giveaways through Gleam. So, you know, you can easily enter, do a bunch of different stuff and things like that. You know, pretty excited to give this stuff away, and we'll, in 7 days, we should have another contest coming. So definitely, cool. Stay tuned for that, but, let's jump into CES. It's the biggest show for us. I think it's great. The thing I love about CES is seeing everybody.
Yeah.
So we have all these friends who live all over the world who kind of do what we do, talk about tech and things like that. And I think it's just great to see everybody. I think it's one of my favorite things, just like, you know, seeing your friends and all of that. I don't know. Was there anything that we were really excited for?
Going into the show, I think my predictions were hopefully something pretty cool from Elgato and Corsair, which, you know, we saw some cool stuff there. It wasn't what I thought we were going to see. I thought we might see a webcam from Elgato.
Yeah, we were talking about that. I remember.
I think that was really all that I was kind of anticipating. We were maybe anticipating some AMD news. I think with the
we did get some AMD news, but. The sad part about it was which we'll talk about with the 5600 and 5600 XT was that AMD did not allow their board partners to show the cards. That was like, I was really excited about that because it's just like last year we had the 2060 and all the board partners had their 2060s there. They came out a few weeks later, but you could see them. So you could say, okay, here's the lineup from MSI. Here's the lineup from, you know, Asus. Here's the lineup from Gigabyte. Like, with this launch, they announced
none of that.
But we didn't see any board partner cards. And I'm pretty sure...
Well, we saw them in a press image from AMD.
Yeah, right? That's what I mean.
So we couldn't see them in person.
Yeah, so that was a little weird. Also, you know, we are getting pretty close to 10th generation desktop processors and Z490 motherboards. I thought we would see a couple, just like what it usually happens at these events is they have a motherboard. There's no name on it, or it says future generation. And it has like the chipset kind of like covered over or whatever. That was not to be found either.
No, nobody had it. You know, we looked pretty hard and nobody was,
showing it. I asked like behind closed doors and everything if anybody had them. They were like, no, we don't have them, which was kind of disappointing for me because I'm a motherboard guy. And there's like no major launch. Like, what was the big thing this year?
I mean, sure, the 5600 XT, but it's not a like huge thing. You had the Intel Nook stuff.
Yeah.
To me was major to me just because I like that small form factor, tiny system stuff. But in the grand scheme of things, there, I don't know that there really was a major announcement.
Even at the show in general, like the show in general, encompassing all tech, all everything is CES. There was nothing that was like the thing.
The Sony electric car, right? That was kind of a surprise announcement.
That was a surprise announcement.
Nothing crazy in TVs, I don't think. We saw some roll-up TVs, but it's not like they showed a 16K TV or anything like that.
Yeah, I did see the roll-up TVs at LG booth. That was really cool. All the TVs, I still think the super thin OLED TVs are just like absolutely amazing. Yeah. We did see that thing. It was like a camera that sort of tried to guess your age. Remember we did that?
Oh, yeah. They had something like that last year, though. I know because you didn't go to the show floor the
last year,
second time, right? So we saw that last year, and it did very similar stuff.
Yeah. We saw the robot that played ping pong.
That was last year. Yep.
Okay. But like there wasn't a big thing. So, you know, like every year there's like a big thing. There was not a big thing. And the one really interesting thing is that Intel did not have a booth. They usually have one of the biggest booths. It's always very interesting. It's huge. No booth this year at CES. What?
Mike in the chat says robot ping pong. Yes. Yeah, so they at the Omron booth, which they make all sorts of electronics and servos and all sorts of things, but they had one configured to essentially play ping pong against a human. So it would see how you were moving, obviously, and react to that. But it would also, this year's model and version of it would kind of react to your mood, and it could kind of tell if you're frustrated or not, and it would react.
It would change its
play style to that. It's neat. I mean, it's not
I liked it for the fact that it could tell if you were angry. You know what I mean? It was like measuring all of those things. I don't know how, I guess cameras, obviously. I forget how many cameras. I think I talked to the rep and he was telling me there's like a bunch of different cameras in it. And they said it's for training. I don't know who's, I guess these ping pong champions that are using that. I don't know. It didn't seem like the robot was all that great. Like if you hit the ball a little higher than normal.
Well, and I think that was just a limitation of the robot, right? Like, it just couldn't do that.
I also did like the underwater drones. Those were really cool.
Yeah, like the fish ones or even just like the, you know, submersible looking things. Those are pretty neat. And Old Man says the LG OLED TV supporting G-Sync. Yep. So we saw that TV at NVIDIA's booth. They were showing, Project Cars 2?
I think that looked
amazing in big screen.
Yes.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was really, really cool.
Which I think we'll talk about that.
Yes, we will. We'll talk about the 360 hertz monitor. Right. So let's just jump into kind of what we covered. Yep. We'll talk about AMD first, just for the fact that
big numbers.
I guess that was the big thing, like the big announcement on the hardware side, was that AMD did officially reveal the Threadripper 3990X. They had already announced it. They just said later. So this is a 64-core, 129-thread, Threadripper 3990X. Just to, you know, to give you an idea of, like, their offering, I mean.
That's crazy. Yeah. Like, even the bottom one, 16 cores, is impressive, right?
So it has a base clock of 2.9 gigahertz, and it's going to boost up to 4.3 gigahertz, 288 megabytes of total cache. Just under $4,000, available February 7th, 2020. It's crazy. High-end desktop, 64 core. That is awesome.
Well, that's the crazy part right there, that next slide, the 30% faster and the cost difference, right, between the dual Xeons.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, I mean, $4,000, you might think, oh, that's crazy for a processor. But if you look at the processing power and when encoding times and time is money and things like that, especially when it comes to studios or, you know, things like that, it just makes sense. I mean, $4,000 for the processor, maybe another $500-$600 for the motherboard. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's just crazy.
Yeah.
So that was their first big announcement. Again, it wasn't super, like, we already knew about it. They said it would, you know, they already announced it technically. This is just like when it's going to be available and everything like that.
About it, yeah.
Yeah. Mike says it would make a killer Unraid box. Yeah. For sure. And the next big announcement was the Radeon RX 5600 XT and 5600. Again, partner based, but we didn't see any of these cards at the show because AMD did not let them.
So weird. I don't get it. But yeah, like, you know, just in that graphic, so they're saying ultimate 1080p gaming. So this isn't your 1440 card, but it's, you know, going to be great for 1080p high settings.
Yeah.
So
36 compute units, 1375 megahertz game clock, up to 1560 megahertz boost clock, 6 gigabytes of GDDR6. It is the slower GDDR6. Mm-hmm.
The 12.
Yeah. So it is the slower GDDR6, but obviously, you know, a good competitor. It's good to see a full lineup again. We're not seeing products like on the Nvidia side at every like $30. This will be $279.99 at the base cost. A lot of these other cards, like this is a Strix card from Asus, will obviously be more expensive. And some of the other ones, like the Sapphire Pulse, should be more along those lines as far as price and things like that. You should see like two or three cards from each company. They're really behind this one. $279 for 1080p, pretty high frame rates, especially when it comes to esports and things like that. I think it's a really good price. You know, paying around $300 for a graphics card used to be the normal, I feel.
Mm-hmm.
So it should be a good card for them. So we will be getting one in this week. So definitely stay tuned for that review. And I have a 5500 in that I need to review. So I'm back from CES and I'm catching up on things. So we will have both of those coming up and they're both from the same company. So it'll be a good comparison. So we will have those coming for you guys here pretty soon. And talking about the 5600 XT, it kind of shoots a shot at the 2060, right? If you're looking to, you know, at a 2060 or a 5600 XT, you're not really sure what to get, you know, especially considering the 2060 is much higher in price. But EVGA and a few other partners that we know of, as the one we saw at the show was EVGA's, they're going to launch a RTX 2060 KO.
It's already available. Yeah,
it's out. It's available now. We got to see it at the show. It is $300 for a 2060.
And I'm pretty sure they've actually already matched the price of the 5600 XT. So they're like price parity even now. I'm almost certain.
So yeah, so $300, 2060. You will get, if you're a single player gamer and you wanted to kind of see what RTX is about, this is a card that... This is a card that can do it for $300, or like you said, what would that be?
$279.
Yeah, $279. So yeah, it's cool. I like EVGA when it comes to their graphics cards. It is a metal backplate. It's not plastic. So you can get a nice little 2060 here for, like I said, $279. Looks good, and we got to see it at their booth. So
yeah, I think the metal backplate is a pretty nice feature on that entry level side of things.
Yeah. I mean, it's like I said, it's a good looking card overall. And like I said, it's just good to see that, you know, partners are realizing like, hey, if we want to sell this stuff, we have to kind of compete within price. You know what I mean? So maybe drop some of the higher end features that are on some of the higher end cards and put out a card that kind of has like kind of the basic features, but just still gives you the same, around the same performance.
Yeah, because I mean, you're not going to find RGB on this. It does have like a DVI port, a DVI-D on it. So, yeah. You know, it's going to be compatible with maybe some older monitors for those folks that aren't on DisplayPort or HDMI.
Yeah, yeah. So that is that's pretty exciting. I would say if you're on the NVIDIA side and you're looking to kind of upgrade, or you've been looking for, you know, just better priced RTX cards, there you go. And the next thing has to do with gaming, and you got some time in on Samsung's new Odyssey G9, which is their 49-inch.
Wait, you skipped. Are you doing that one first?
Did I skip one? Oh, okay. Well, we'll skip. I'm already skipping things, trying to get this podcast.
Man.
Yeah, I just, you know, like I said, I still have the CES hangover.
CES, right? Go on.
So yeah. So first, before we get to the Samsung gaming monitor, the hype before the show was Asus and NVIDIA had a 360 hertz G-Sync gaming monitor. Yeah. And you think 360 hertz, like, what's the point? And I think a lot of people, even I thought, like, what's the point? 240 is awesome for gaming. But we were, I think you should explain this because you did it. Like, we both went through the demo. You did it more than I did. So if you want to kind of explain what NVIDIA did, like, to show what the difference is between 240 and 360 and how they showed us, I guess.
Yeah, so they kind of had three setups going there. The first one was to show the improvements that could be had in your reaction time. So they had two identical system setup. The only difference was that the one on the left was running at 60 hertz. The one on the right was at 360. So in the first image that's showing there, this is the reaction time demo. So there was a test in like CSGO where a terrorist or whoever it was jumps across through a gap and you had to try to shoot them out of the air with very little reaction time, right? On the 60 hertz panel, I think I got 0 out of 10.
Zero. I got a big zero.
And Bob's gonna say I got 0 because he got 2, which is, you know, like it was very hard. Then you move over to the 360 hertz monitor, and I ended up with 8 out of 10, I think.
Yeah, you did really good on that one.
8 out of 10, and I think you had 7 out of 10, and you probably would have had 8, except you kind of jumped the gun on one, if I remember.
Yeah.
And it just made it almost felt like you had more time to see the guy moving across, and you kind of do. Your brain can interpret the extra images that you're getting from that monitor and can react a little bit faster and able to snipe that guy out of the air.
Yeah, and I was just like, wow. Like, I used to play Counter-Strike competitively, and that's what this demo was. And to feel like you had, you know, like an extra split second, especially you're using the AWP, so if you guys are familiar with that, you know, you have that extra split second to get that shot. It just means a kill, you know? So that was really impressive to me. And like I said, just our reactions, Ryan scoring 0 and then getting 8 hits, and I had 2 and then I got 7. Big, you know, those are big differences.
Oh yeah, big number difference.
Yeah. So then we'll move on to
So the next test was like target acquisition and aiming. So again, we were kind of in Counter-Strike. This time you were in kind of a stationary position and they would have a random enemy pop up around you. The goal was to using a pistol, and you had as many shots as you wanted. So, I mean, you could just, you know, fire over and over. That's not my style, but you had to see if you could get a headshot. And as soon as you got a headshot on them, they would disappear and you would have to kind of turn around and find the next target around you. So they would be moving. So it was really kind of, you know, on the 60 hertz monitor, compared to the 360, again, there was quite a bit of a difference. For this one, it wasn't as much. I think on the first test, I got 14, and then on the 360 hertz monitor, I got 16 or 17 in a 45-second time period. That one, I didn't feel like I noticed it as much. It wasn't
smoother,
but I didn't feel like I did better or that it was easier. It felt smoother, but I didn't feel like the test was easier, if that makes sense. But you could notice a difference for sure.
So, and then the comprehension, which is kind of hard to see in this.
Yeah, it's even hard to see when you watch a video of it, just because the cameras can't really pick up exactly what's happening unless you have a real high frame rate going. So the left monitor by default was set at 240 hertz. The right one again was at 360. And they had a Dota little demo screen scrolling across from right to left. So you have multiple characters there with their health bars. You've got some buildings, and each of the characters obviously has a name on them. So on the left monitor going at 240 hertz and scrolling, you could kind of maybe make out one of the names as it was moving across the screen if you watched it the whole time. But you couldn't pick up a lot of information from the screen, whereas on the right one, you could read each one of the names pretty easily and pick up a lot more information. So just the extra, again, info that your brain can process, even though the images were moving at the same speed, you're just getting a little bit more information and visuals for yourself to process. So especially, you know, on the left one, they would move it down to 60 hertz, 120, 144, 240, you know, and you can really tell a difference on those lower ones. But it's just, again, proves that a higher frame rate does make a difference, and there is a noticeable difference there. You know, a lot of people used to say even above 60 hertz you're not going to be able to tell. Well, we obviously know that that's not right, because I could tell the difference between 60 and 75 when I had a 75 hertz monitor, and then 144 I'm on now, I think is pretty good, but there's definitely a difference between the two, and to say that there isn't was proven.
I think that people don't realize until you see these tests. Yep. Walking in there, I'm like, this is, you know, but it's just, you know, hitting with my, I hit two shots and then hitting seven. And you could feel that you had so much more time. It's mm-hmm. just crazy. And then the comprehension one, again, like everything's blurry to me in this one. And then in the 360, the one that's running 360 FPS, you could read the names. And the way they explained it too is like, I don't play Dota, but you know, if one of these guys that you're seeing is one of the heroes and he's about to do an attack, you can you can launch your spells or do whatever you need to do a lot easier. So it does make a I guess an argument. It makes an argument for high frame rate monitor, like over 240 hertz for mm-hmm. sure. I would say only for the esports player, casual gamers.
I would recommend it for like a first person, like, you know, casual. You're not playing competitively. I wouldn't recommend it. You might be able to still see a difference, but the advantage you're going to get is
probably worth. And the thing is too is like the cost. I mean, this monitor is going to be quite expensive, mm-hmm. and you really don't need that as a casual game or anything like that. And you have to realize that Dota 2 and Counter-Strike Source, those are going to be the like some of the few titles that you can push, you know, 360 frames per second on, say, like a 2080 Ti, mm-hmm. right? So those are the things, you know. Want to say what's up to Joseph in the chats, and then Old Man as well. He's
been
in all.
He's been around a lot lately. Yeah. Well, Mike and Joseph, they both came over from the Home Gadget Geeks crew.
Nice.
So we'll be guesting over there in February. But they did a lot to kind of advertise us and everything, so they made it over tonight. So
nice. Hopping over here. And they're the one that got us on StreamYard, because I had no clue what StreamYard was before that. So
yeah, so thanks to them,
we're streaming. You get to look at my pretty face, and Ryan, but yeah. So talking about gaming and monitors, not a crazy super fast monitor, but I think my dream monitor, I would say, for what I do, is the new Samsung Odyssey G9. They launched their new Odyssey gaming monitors at CES. There's the G9 and G7. G9 is 49 inches. The G7 is 32 and 27 inch versions. And the big thing with these is that they have a 100R curve, which is super curved. And we did a video on it. I'm just going to kind of let it play or go through a little bit. And you can kind of see Ryan, you know, playing Overwatch on it. And I like it. You made a very valid point, though. The curve is so dramatic that when you're gaming, especially like an FPS, you have to move your head, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, and I don't know that it's so much the curvature. It's just that wide of a screen when I'm playing an FPS, I'm usually pretty focused on the center of my screen.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm seeing stuff in the peripheral, but I'm really focused on the centerpiece. So a lot of that screen to me is wasted in a game like they were demoing Overwatch. Now an RTS or just a single player third person view type.
Yeah, game, I would want to play Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order on it. That would be amazing. Yep. Also, I pointed out in my video too, is that you could have, because it is 2560 or some crazy frame rate by 1440, right? So you technically could play a game at 1440p in the center. You could have, Twitch. If you're streaming, you could have Twitch on one side, you could have Discord on the other. And you have like the perfect all-in-one screen. I think that would be my ideal. Obviously, since I do a lot of video editing, having that massive timeline across 49 inches for editing would be amazing. I love curved screens. I have one in front of me. It's not 100R curve. I think it's 1500 maybe. But I like curved screens. I like super ultra wides. That monitor to me was awesome. It looked amazing as well. It's white.
The back of it looks very cool.
The back of it has this kind of like RGB elements. I don't know if I can fast forward in the video.
I look like Tony Stark's whatever that core is called. Arc reactor.
Yeah, so you can kind of see that in there. Like I said, it is a really amazing monitor. It's 240 hertz as well. Which is really impressive.
That was another problem I had, is they were running the demo. They had it set at 60 hertz. I don't know what system they were running on it, or if they just had it misconfigured, but I went into the settings and turned FPS on, and it was locked at 60.
Gotcha.
And I didn't want to mess with it, so.
Yeah. But also at their booth was the 980 Pro, which didn't seem to be covered at all at CES.
They didn't really give much info. Like, it was stuck in a glass box. We couldn't look at it.
Let's see if I can.
We assume, it's a fourth gen NVMe part, and I'm sure it's going to be pretty fast.
So there is the 980 Pro. It is going to be Samsung's first Gen 4 SSD, 6,500 megabytes a second read, 5,000 write. The one thing I talked about in my video, which is interesting, and again, we don't know, but there's no heatsink on this.
Mm-hmm. Not even on the sticker? They're not even using one of the like little foil ones?
No, so it's not even on the sticker. Again, this might not be the final version because it's just, we're just showing it off at CES. But every Gen 4 drive, the two or three that I've reviewed are very hot and require very large heat sinks. Now, those are using third-party controllers. Samsung, at least on all their previous products, develops everything in-house. Mm-hmm. So, but still, that much speed. And again, remember when they first put out their NVMe drives, they did have heat issues and throttling issues. Old Man said, how many of those monitors do you need to circle yourself? Probably three. Maybe three. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Somewhere
1000R curve is very dramatic, which I like, at least for me, for like my workflow. I think that would be great. But back to this. Yeah, they said probably later this year. They couldn't tell us nothing more about it. And then finally, we had the T7 Touch from Samsung as well. I love these drives. I have a T5. This is just an upgrade. So it's upgraded to USB 3.2 Gen 2. Yep. And then it has a touch, a fingerprint reader. So most of these drives have a password. This you can just touch with your finger and easily unlock. It makes it so much easier. You can still do password protection, and it has 256 bit AES hardware protection. These are great for our mobile workflow. I think that it's like it. Yeah. If you're doing 4K content and you're editing it on the road, this is an awesome little drive to have. This will be available 512 and 1 terabyte version. So very cool to see that. So yeah. We'll move on to what is next on our list, Corsair. So we got to visit Corsair And I was actually surprised because I had heard nothing about this, and I think they kept it under wraps, was they had this new case, and this case has RGBs embedded in the glass.
Sort of.
So this is a concept. This isn't the final version. And basically, it is going to, it uses their Capellex LED technology. So that is what we saw on their Dominator Platinum RGB memory. Basically, the actual LEDs are much smaller than your normal RGB LED. And I was impressed. I don't know about you. I thought it was very, very cool. The big reason, and let's fast forward in our video here, is because if you look at it, it looks like the LEDs are just floating.
It was crazy. I mean, the Capellex LEDs are already pretty small, but the leads, they were able to shrink and make the leads between them so small that, I mean, my face was up against the glass practically, and you could like barely see a line. You step back 6 inches, you can't see it.
It's
invisible. It's amazing.
It was very, very cool. And the other cool thing is that there's no wires. It's all a hard connection on the bezel of the front bezel of the case. So you wouldn't have to worry about connecting RGB wires or anything like that. And of course, you can control it all through IQ. It's like I said, it's just awesome. I mean, having that much RGBs in your system, I think is great.
Because, yeah, this had 150 RGBs, I think. It was like 10 by 10 on the side panel and 10 by 5 on the front. And you can kind of see it right there in that image. You got IQ up there, so you can individually change.
Yeah, and all of the RGBs are individually addressable, which I think is just crazy. Now, the thing that I'm really excited about is that they showed this on a 465X, which I wouldn't say is the best case out there. If they put this on a higher end case, I think that'd be awesome. Again, this is just showing the technology, right? Yep. Putting this on a higher end case, or if you're not a fan of the side panel, like putting it on a front panel, only on the front panel of a case, right? Or something like that. Yep. There's a lot of different things that you could do with this, but just to see that, again, we weren't expecting this. This was kind of like, wow, this is awesome.
It was one of my favorite things to see at the show.
Yeah, definitely one of my favorite things. Also with Corsair, they have their new integration with Asus Aura Sync. So now everything that is Aura Sync compatible will work in IQ, and they'll talk to each other. So if you have an Asus motherboard, any Asus product, and you have Corsair products, you can control them all with an IQ. So you have all the same effects. So it's just annoying when you have a motherboard and then you get some RGB fans and then they're out of sync or they don't, it's just so much easier to do it all through IQ.
Check that out on my board.
Yeah.
Enable this.
Yeah. And then finally they had the A500?
Yeah. Yep. Their air cooler.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A500 air cooler right here. This is a big boy air cooler. It's their first air cooler in 8 years. Which is pretty cool. I think that they've really thought of everything with this cooler. It's huge. It's easily installable. Get to the point where
you can tell that they spent their time like designing this and bringing it to market because they've done so much to make this a high quality part.
Yeah, it looks very high tech too. I think people kind of overlook that when it comes to air coolers, but you can see the top that kind of pulls off there and you'll be able to easily install. You just get a screwdriver that kind of goes down in there. So installation should be easy. Mm-hmm. And the fans themselves actually pull off, which I think is really cool as well. The biggest thing, the fan clips are just annoying and you cut your hand on the heat sink. I've done it so many times. See how the fan just pulls off there.
Like those little like thin clips, they're like a paper clip that's been stretched out and bent just the right way. Like, they're so frustrating. And if you're not familiar with them, you're like, how the hell does this hold a fan on? Because it's so confusing. This was awesome. That thing weighed a ton. It had the huge heat pipes that make direct contact with the CPU. Yep. So you don't have to, you know, go through an aluminum or copper piece. You're right on those heat pipes, so you get better heat transfer. It was, like I said,
it's out now. I forget the pricing. I actually just got one. It was
like $89 or $99, I think.
Yeah, I just got one in today. Literally today, it just came. So I'll be reviewing that as well. So definitely stay tuned for that. Hopefully they come out with a case this year that uses those LEDs, because I definitely want to review that as well. So definitely some cool stuff from Corsair. We'll move over to Cooler Master. And you think of Cooler Master for their cases and their coolers, but I was actually most excited for their new mouse. So they will have a brand new lightweight mouse this year. It's shooting for 45 grams and it's actually based on the Spawn. So if you guys remember the Spawn mouse from years ago, this, you can see it by the design. I mean, it looks like it almost exactly like the Spawn mouse. They've changed the orientation of where the sensor is. Obviously the sensor has been upgraded as and everything like that. But just, I do remember I had a Spawn mouse. I loved it. I just, it's really made for like a claw style grip. So I absolutely loved my Spawn. And I think that bringing that back in the low, like I said, lightweight, 45 grams is very, very light. You can see just, like I said, with all the holes and everything like that on it. Just a, like I said, I love the whole lightweight thing. You guys might be haters.
You've converted.
I've converted. I've drank the Kool-Aid. I feel like I've drank the Kool-Aid. It, like I said, it just, can you get this in there? This is their MM711 review coming soon that I'm using right now. And the cabling is probably my favorite thing on it just because it's just feels amazing. But the lightweight gaming mice, if you play games, and it's just, like I said, it's just awesome. So they have that. And then their low profile keyboards, which we'll get to here if I find them in the video right here. So this is going to be their new SK622, 60% keyboard. We reviewed all of their SK keyboards last year, 60%, 10 keyless, full size, very low profile. They're beautiful keyboards. But last year they had these keycaps that were completely flat. And while those looked great, as far as usage, they felt good. They took a while to get used to, but it was just a little, I don't know, they just didn't feel as good. So they've made the keycaps more concave, and then they've used new, what are they called, TCL switches or TTC?
TTC, I think.
Yeah, new TTC switches in there on these keyboards. This 60% one is one that I'm definitely really interested in. Hopefully we get that into review, because I love a small keyboard. Even though I have the Corsair one sitting in front of me, which is awesome, I like smaller things on my desk. So they'll have that as well. And then they have the full size, which is the SK652. Trying to skip around the video. There it is. And they'll have different versions with white keycaps, black keycaps, things like that. They will both be wired and wireless. They weren't really specific on if each keyboard will be wireless, like if there'll be a wireless, if there'll be two different versions, a wired and a wireless, or if the keyboard has wireless functionality as well as wired. We don't know that yet. But that was really, really cool as well. And then also with Cooler Master, we had they have gaming chairs now. Which is something you got to check out. They have, I feel they have like the typical OEM style, right?
Yeah,
like
the Caliber R's. Everybody pretty much has, right? That racing chair.
Yeah. They have those. They have this little mat at the bot that I thought was kind of cool. You know, for your office or whatever, they have this mat as well. But they have an ergonomic chair, which I was most excited about because I'm sitting in an ergonomic chair right now, from Autonomous. And ergonomic chairs, I think if you spend a lot of time at your computer, they're kind of the way to go, right? You can adjust literally everything on them. It's just way better for your body, I feel, than the gaming chairs. I think the gaming chairs are an upgrade to like the crappy $50 chair from Office.
What are you saying? Office Max? That's what I've been sitting in and have had for probably 12 years.
What happened to the? You got a gaming chair in review.
It was too tall.
Oh, okay. We'll have to get you another one. But we'll have to get you this Ergo one.
Give me this Ergo one, man.
Yeah, so this is not going to be cheap. I think they said, what, $599 or $799?
It was $499 or $599 on the Ergo. Okay. I think $599.
But we were really kind of impressed by this because it's a full line of gaming chairs. I think there's like four or five in total from Cooler Master. So they're like diving in pretty hardcore, you know, with these chairs. It's not.
And each one of them kind of adds a little to it, right? So if you don't want to spend a lot, or, you know, you only want these certain features, you can kind of start out with the R1 or the R2 and kind of move your way up. You know, the things that differentiate them are the, you know, one might not come with the neck pillow, but it comes with the back pillow, or the armrests only move side to side and they don't rotate, right? So you've got some options there as far as budget and features go. So I think that's nice. They're not just coming out with a single chair that's...
I think many companies came out with like one chair, right? That was their chair. And then they were literally every company had the same chair for the most part. It's good to see a full series. Good to see the Ergo. I'm really excited for this one. Old Man said that he would recommend an ergonomic chair over a gaming chair any day. I agree with you 100%. Because like I said, I'm sitting in one and I absolutely love it. And I spend hours upon hours in front of my computer. So let's talk about what else we have here from CES. We have, this thing.
Oh my gosh.
Probably the most, this in the Corsair case are probably the most talked about cases at CES.
The most surprising, right? The most innovative, I think, or just
this different. This is definitely innovative in difference. Inwin showed their new Day chassis, and it's part of their signature series. So if you're familiar with Inwin, I know their signature series, all of the super limited edition cases, which have slowly gone from cases, I feel, to art pieces, things that nobody really can afford that wants a limited edition case.
Or has room for.
This is just this massive, I wouldn't say an abomination because I thought it was actually cool. It is this crazy kind of chandelier type case that has its own stand and has all these like interesting little
scales
and things like that. It's on this crazy stand, as you can see here. And it's a two system case. You can fit actually two systems in there. Comes with dual power supplies that help power your system as well as all of the other functions that are on this. So it has a virtual assistant called Jarvis, and you can use like hand motion gestures. Mm-hmm. You can use voice commands. Was there another one that you could use as well?
He also mentioned Amazon and Google's assistant compatibility as well. Yeah,
you can put those in there. It has a projector on the bottom that you can see here. The bottom of the base is actually white, and you could ask it to project a movie and it will start playing it and things like that. Very cool chassis. I think it's sort of like for like an art installation. It seems like it's an art installation, right?
Yeah.
If you are a millionaire or whatever, and you love computers and you love art and you have something like this, I can see it.
You're some sort of tech startup, right? And you want that in your lobby for everybody to look at when they come into your startup or something. I can see that.
Yeah, so it will be $14,500. Yeah. Just a chassis, no computer which is rather interesting.
It's a lot of dollars.
Yeah, it's a lot of dollars. And then we had the new B1 from Inwin as well, which is this little guy. And this little guy is an ITX case. Really cool, actually. I think it's a great little case for like a Steam box or like a streaming machine. You know what I mean?
I think it would look nice as a home theater PC, right? On top of a media center or something.
Yeah, it's kind of
that rectangular box. It doesn't look like another stereo or something. It's just a little fancier, a little art deco-y almost.
Yeah, it's really cool looking. The top pops off so you can install a mini ITX system. It actually, the height of it is good enough for the, or tall enough for the Intel stock cooler. So you have all of these like aftermarket CPU coolers for Intel, the low profile ones are set at that height. So you have a lot of options there. Comes with a 200 watt power supply. I believe it's going to be $79. In what, February they said, or March? I forget.
Yeah, I don't have my notes in front of me.
Yeah, nah, no worries. And then they have AIOs. So Inwin will be coming out with their own AIOs as well. The big thing with these is the height of the pump block. You can see it's pretty big tall. Right there. Yeah. I think the reason for that, and somebody told me this after, the big reason for that is to get around the Asetek patent.
Yeah, well, they're dual pump, so yeah, you've got some functionality to it, but yeah, to get around Asetek's patents.
Yeah, but it's cool to see, like, we have another player in the AIO market. I mean, it kind of makes sense because they are making chassis, you know, it just makes sense. So they'll have the SR24, which is 240, and then they'll have the SR36, which is a 360 millimeter. So very cool. They come with the RGB fans, and the fans will have their own controller and everything like that too. So very cool on Inwin. And we'll move on to who's after Inwin. Thermaltake had a lot. They had
packed booth
so much at the show, and I think they always do because they have so many different product lines. But we focused mostly on cases and their new tough ram. So they had this monstrosity of a case called the, I think it's, I forget now, it's called the T600TG, which is this just massive thing. You guys can kind of see here, it's just this massive case. Again, it doesn't seem very functional. It's a showcase, I think, right?
Yeah.
It's a case to look very cool. This is going to look great. I mean, if you're building a system, it's going to look great. But as far as functionality, I feel there's a lot of wasted space for that big of a case. Does that make sense?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, there's so many open spots, especially in that front lower section. It's just like this open area where you could probably do some stuff if you're a modder. But for a normal person, they're probably not going to put anything in there. So it's just kind of this open area, which I guess is fine. But yeah.
Yeah, I'm really interested to see the mods that come out of this.
That's where I'm most excited are those custom mods and builds that will come out of this. Just a normal system in this is kind of going to look, I don't know, like it's not enough.
Yeah, but I think a lot of people, especially like younger kids, are like, I want that case to be in, you know, like when I was younger, when I was building my computer, like I wanted like a crazy looking case because that was like my thing, right? Yeah. Again, not super functional, but I do think it has that Thermaltake kind of thing to it where it's kind of like in your face. It's, you know, it's something different. So they'll have that case. I forget the pricing on it.
It wasn't as expensive as I thought it was going to be.
Yeah. It's not as expensive. It doesn't come with any fans or anything. So that kind of probably would make up for that. And the next thing we saw was their distro case, which is basically like their, if you're familiar with their Core P5, it's basically a Core P5, but they've taken the entire back or the entire case part of it and they've made it a distro plate.
229 and 249 on that case, by the way.
Okay. They made the entire back of the case a distro plate for custom water cooling. You can see it here. Again, it does look very much like a Core P5, except for you, of course, have that distro plate made for custom water cooling, which we've seen another company do pretty much the same thing with a test bench. So it's great to see it here. If you're doing custom water cooling, it's like a great starting point. Again, this is like a great starting point for an awesome mod, I think, because the entire back of your system, as you can see there, is going to look awesome. Yeah. With all the coolant and everything like that in it. It's called the DistroCase 360. probably because it fits a 360 millimeter radiator in the front. I think the price was like $499. Which you might think is high for like that type of case, but again, that massive distro plate, that's where the cost is going for the most part. Then we saw this thing. This was an AIO CPU cooler /
RAM
cooler. So as you can see, the tubing comes in and then goes to the memory and then goes out of the memory back into the radiator. It they told us that this is only for China.
They're not selling it anywhere else yet. I don't know why.
Yeah, I don't know why either. I think it's a really cool thing. I don't see it being all that efficient, just because you're cooling another thing.
I'm curious about the installation too, because the tube between the CPU block and pump and the memory modules is pretty short. Like, I don't know. I would think you'd have some trouble getting it installed, but
yeah. Maybe this is for like esports cafes and stuff. That like, you know, just those in general, like are hot, like hot areas,
right?
You know, so I could see that maybe, you know, and just make the installation easier for something like that. And then finally they had their Tough RAM, which I think is really awesome looking memory. If you look at it, it's just the design I think is really cool. And it's non-RGB, which is weird thing for a Thermaltake having non-RGB memory, but it's comes in this white and black. The black kind of has this gunmetal top finish to it.
Right.
It
looks nice. And the white in that image looks a little like off-white, but it was white. The lighting in their booth in their suite was just off. So
yeah, just a little off. But yeah, so Tough RAM available in up to 4400 megahertz, which is super fast as well. So really cool there. If you're not looking for RGB memory, there you go. And yeah, Old Man says, does RAM really need cooling? And it really doesn't. I think it's...
it doesn't need water cooling.
It doesn't need water cooling.
Uses, but yeah.
Yeah. So that's what Thermaltake had. Or that's what we really wanted to cover from Thermaltake. Lots of stuff there. Really, I think the distro case was really cool for me. I think that was kind of the cool thing there. And then we'll talk about what we talked about when we kind of first started was the what is it called? The Intel Compute Element. Is that what it's called?
NUC Compute Element.
Yeah. So if you guys aren't familiar with the Intel Compute Element, it's basically this. And this is a CPU. What's all on this? Like CPU storage, memory storage.
It's like a PC it looks like a video card there because it connects via PCIe slots. It's like a computer on a
Basically a computer on an expansion card. Right. So you get everything. So this is like a Core i9 in here. And the whole idea is that all you have to do is essentially have an enclosure, which you can kind of see behind here, and have a graphics card. And you have this small, compact gaming system for the most part. Which is like the whole idea. It's like modular computing, I guess. Yep. So we saw a couple different concepts at the show. This one's from Razer, and it's called their Tomahawk, which you'll be able to buy with different components. You'll be able to kind of pick. Or they have a set SKU, did they say? I forget.
They will have both. It'll be available as just essentially a case and power supply setup, and also as a couple SKUs for complete systems, I believe.
Yeah, so you know, you load your graphics card, like you can see where the PCI Express connector is here. There's actually two of them, one for the Intel part and the other for your graphics card. Slide it in. You basically connect your graphics card and there's a connector on this as well.
For power.
Yeah, you can see it right there. It's a 10 pin. You have that. And you have a computer, a pretty powerful computer, too. I really want to get one of these in to really kind of test it and see what the difference is between a real desktop computer. But I think the idea is really cool. And if the cooling is actually sufficient, because you're putting all of that with this like little cooler here and a high-end graphics card inside of an enclosure right next to each other.
I definitely think a blower style cooler would be better for the GPU. And that's what they're using for the compute board, is a blower style cooler. Yeah. I think that would probably be best for the GPU as well. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how these actually perform in some of the cases we saw, like this Razer one.
Yeah. So
from Cooler Master as well. I don't think that's on our list here, but
yeah, we did see one from Cooler Master, and they partnered with CyberPower to build one as well. But like I said, hopefully we get one of these in. I just really want to test, you know, how does it actually compare to a desktop PC? But I do like the idea. I like the idea from Intel. And something from Intel to get excited about, because we haven't been excited about anything from Intel for a while, or it seems so. Yeah. That was like a really cool concept. And it's good to see Razer kind of... Yeah, Razer seems like they've kind of gone off the... Not gone off the rails, but like their laptops are really good. But on the desktop side of things, they haven't really... you know, done anything that great. So, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice to see them expanding out from their bread and butter peripherals and devices like that. So it's cool.
Yeah. Moving on to Gigabyte and Aorus. Gigabyte, the big thing that really impressed me at their booth was they had a Gen 3 drive that will give you Gen 4 speeds. So basically, you know, if you're on an Intel system and you want super fast NVMe speeds, you're kind of maxed out. Yep. But they have a RAID card that will give you those speeds. So they showed us this card, which is called the Aorus RAID card. I'll try to get to it here in the video. It basically looks like an expansion card here, as you can see. But it has four 512 gigabyte Gen 3 M.2 drives on it, and then you have an industrial grade RAID card on there. And you plug this into a Gen 3 slot, and you're going to get around 6,500 megabytes a second read and write, which is very fast. And, if you're looking to upgrade, this might be... If you were looking to go over to the AMD side from an Intel system, this kind of gives you an in-between where you're not spending as much money to upgrade. And it's just, a solid card. They also have a Gen 4 version, which they showed at Computex. And they had a demo that was using a TRX 40 board instead of a X570. And they were actually getting close to 20,000 megabytes a second or 20 gigabytes a second on it, which is really impressive. Also, a new thing from Gigabyte is they're bringing their Design Air brand down to other products. So Design Air is sort of like we saw it with their motherboards. They're kind of boards designed for designers and creators and people like that. So the first product is their Design Air portable SSD USB 3.2 Gen 2. Just like the T7 Touch from Samsung's, basically the same type of drive. Little portable SSD there. Great for creators, great for dumping 4K content. So you'll have that. And then they have memory. So they have Design Air memory as well. Most people who have, you know, rigs set up for encoding video and stuff, they're not full of RGB. So the Design Air memory is pretty basic, as you can see, but it will come in a 30. It is only going to come in a 32 gigabyte kit. So 32 gigabytes, 3200 megahertz there. So again, more things for designers. And then we saw a new WaterForce graphics card. So WaterForce brand has been kind of relegated towards relegated for the Aorus brand. But now Gigabyte is bringing that brand down to their main Gigabyte line. So we have their RTX 2080 Super WaterForce. I don't know the whole name because it's actually longer than that. But basically, it is a graphics card with an integrated water block, so you can add it into your custom loop. The whole idea is to make this more affordable. So the Aorus card is highly overclocked. Much higher overclocked, has kind of more features around like the $1,400 range, whereas this card will be around the $900 range. You're still getting, essentially under the hood, you're still getting the same RTX 2080 Super. You're just getting, you know, not as good of a block and maybe, you know, not as high overclocked or higher binned memory in GPU.
And one clarification, I'm pretty sure that memory kit was actually a 64 gig
kit. Oh, 64 gig kit. I'm sorry. Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah. You're right. The CS is catching up to me. So that was the Water Force card. I like it. I like that they're bringing bringing a lot of things down to the Gigabyte
brand from Forest.
Yeah, to make things more affordable, because they had all these, you know, super high-end technologies that are a few years old now, and now we're going to get them on, you know, more affordable, and then we're going to see even more crazy new technologies go into the Aorus products. So talking about that, Aorus did launch, your Gigabyte did launch gaming monitors last year, and they were Aorus branded. Now you're going to see Gigabyte branded monitors. The cool thing about these is that they still will have the software. So if you're not familiar, I hate trying to configure a monitor with, you know, you got to go under there with the little buttons and
What's the magic combo to get to the menu you need to get to?
Yeah, it's just annoying. So they actually have software that makes this much easier. Let's get to it here in the video. So they actually have software that allows you to, you know, change brightness, change contrast, do all that kind of stuff. So you will have that with these monitors. The one that I really liked, or what they kind of were really showing off, is one that has a built-in KVM. And KVM, that sounds like old technology, right? Yeah. But this uses a USB Type-C connection. And the whole idea is, you know, you have your laptop, you have your keyboard and mouse connected via USB to the monitor. You plug in your one Type-C that is going to bring, of course, your video over, but it's also going to, you know, connect your keyboard and mouse to your laptop. Or if you, you know, are on mobile, as you can see here, we're connecting it to a phone using Type-C, brings the phone up on the monitor as well. So if you're playing PUBG Mobile and you want to like own people with keyboard and mouse, you can do that. But I can see it with people with an iPad. I think an iPad is a great tool. I actually have one. So like iPad Pro has Type-C now, so you can go ahead and connect it and, you know, work on just a bigger space. So if you're doing video editing or designing, you want a bigger monitor and maybe you want keyboard and mouse, you can go ahead and do that. So very cool stuff there from Gigabyte. And I'll move over to AlphaCool. And the funny thing about AlphaCool was the thing I was most excited about was not
anything related to cooling,
not a cooling product. They had these crazy super thin RGB strips, and I think they kind of just solve a problem. Especially AlphaCool, of course, makes custom cooling products, you know, stuff for custom loops and things like that. And if you're doing any of that, your system fills up pretty quickly.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of room in your system. So what they've done is they have created these super thin RGB strips that are only 2.5 millimeters thick, meaning that you could pretty much put them anywhere in your system. You could throw them behind your motherboard even.
I've run into, you know, you're putting the rubbery ones with either the magnets in them or the 3M tape. And yeah, you're like, oh, this is going to fit perfectly here in this little gap between the side panel and the rest of my case. And it like is just too thick and is so frustrating. These will not have that problem.
Yeah, you can see like my fingers
are they're flexible as well. Oh, they've got a little bit of flex to them. They've got the adhesive on them. They don't weigh hardly anything. So you don't have to, if you put it on the top of your case facing down, it's not going to fall off because they don't weigh anything. So.
Yeah, so that was like, again, the thing I was most excited about. They did have a GPU AIO, which they have had, but they pretty much updated it. So that was the Ice Wolf Aurora, and it is an AIO for your GPU. So I think this is great for two kind of uses. One, if you're getting into water cooling and you're just not, you know, you kind of just want to test the waters. There's the block and the pump. The pump is right here on it. You know, if you want to kind of test the waters and see what water cooling is all about, you can do this. They'll have a version for Radeon 5000 series cards, and they'll have a version for GeForce cards. I'm not specifically sure on what GeForce cards. I think at least 2070, 2080.
Yeah.
And they'll come in two versions. They'll have the version that has the acetel top. That's the one that we just first shown. And then they have one with a clear acrylic top. I think it's cool. And it does come with the quick disconnects. So you can easily add something else. So again, you're getting into water cooling. You might want to add something else, you know, in there. Another thing is, I think that if you're building and you've done water cooling, but then you're upgrading, this is something good to have. Is like when you're doing a custom build, you kind of, I know a lot of people that just like throw away their old, their cooler for their graphics card. So this could fit in on an older graphics card, or, you know, if you have, you've upgraded or something like that, and it will give you water cooling if you don't want to invest in a completely second loop. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Makes sense.
And then they had their new AIO, which will be shipping off to you, Ryan, here very soon. It's their Ice Bear Aurora, which has been upgraded, upgraded tubing. It's actually the same tubing they use in their industrial coolers. It's all these new products are called Aurora because they have RGB lighting. This one has RGB lighting in on the fans as well as on the block. So exciting new stuff. I think AlphaCool definitely needed to upgrade a lot of their stuff, their blocks, everything, because they just weren't all that attractive to me, at least in my opinion, when it came to their custom water.
I don't mind their blocks. I think they're pretty good looking.
I think their GPU blocks were not very, they didn't look very good to me.
Yes, I agree. I don't know if I'm a fan of that bear on the Ice Bear either, but you know, whatever.
Yeah, so
we'll see how it looks when it comes in.
Yeah, yeah, you'll get that one into review. So cool stuff there from AlphaCool. And who else do we have here? EK. So talking about custom water cooling, we went to EK Suite, and the big thing was custom, like custom. They work with case manufacturers to either make a custom case or to have custom distro plates made for the case. So they have worked with Inwin in the past, and they had their new 909 EK, which is a custom case that you can buy. This won't be around $900. And the big thing here is you can see the distro plate right here. This is
You're not showing it.
I'm not showing it, huh? Nope.
There we go.
I gotta learn a podcast, you know. Coming back from CS.
Oh, no.
So here is the distro plate, which is basically acts as a motherboard tray.
This thing looks great.
Oh, it looks so great. So again, and it just like how it includes the.
So it's got the cable management.
Yeah.
Cable management. The pass-throughs for it, but they're also like a cable comb. So it organizes your cables. So when they come out the front side, they're nice and organized and neat and look clean. So. I really appreciate that kind of detail.
Yeah, it was one of the best looking cases. I mean, you can see what it's going to look like there. So,
and they've modified that case quite a bit, because I looked again when I got home at the 909, and I mean, they've moved the IO ports there. You know, your USB, those are usually on the side, so they've moved that.
This whole side is made to fit a radiator, like a 480. I think
you can do two of them. Yeah,
yeah,
one on each kind of side of the case. It looks very cool.
So yeah, so you have that. I think looks absolutely, Mike says that's a good looking case. It's a good looking case.
It's expensive.
Yeah, it's $900
without anything. It's just with the case and the distro plate. So
yeah, like I said, the cable combs I think is just like the icing on the cake, because we've seen distro plates. They're nothing new, but with the cable combs in there, I think it's absolutely amazing how they've done that.
Shipping, good customer service, but shipping is expensive. Well, it just kind of depends, I guess, where you buy it from and your shipping, I would say. If you're buying it directly from them, then yeah, possibly shipping might be expensive.
Yeah, it all depends. You can buy a lot of EK stuff in, you know, on Amazon and other places like that as well. And then case-specific distro plates. So if you are doing, if you buy a case or do a build and you have a specific case and you want to do your own custom water cooling loop, the cool thing to do now is distro plates. I think that's kind of become the norm, I think. So why not have a distro plate that's specifically made for that case. Now, a lot of companies will sell these. You can see these back here. These are distro plates. Like this one,
universal
looks like,
size.
Yeah, up. Like this one looks like a 360. This is a 240. This is a 120, mm-hmm. which were made to fit in all those places. But why not have one that will fit the case specifically? So you don't have to worry about any issues with clearance, things fitting. So they have one here that is for the Corsair 1000D massive case. You can see that it just slides in there.
I always forget how big that case is also, which means, I mean, from that first image, it looks like that might be like a standard 360 sized distro plate or something. No, it's like 360, no, 480 by
dual 480.
Yeah, it's huge.
Yeah,
two pumps on it on that one.
But yeah, so you can see how, you know, the distro plate's all set up inside. It's really, really cool. I think that, you know, just having them made for cases specifically is great. Here's one in the Define. Was it Define R6?
R6, yep.
We have that as well. So lots of, like I said, distro plates are kind of the new thing. So,
No, I think it's... Those look pretty sweet. The Define R6 one is pretty cool.
I think this
I'm
is
looking
like
at the Define R6 right over here, and I'm like, oh man, that would look sweet. And
yeah, this is kind of the year of distro plates. I feel, you know what I mean.
So
the last thing, which I think was really cool, at least for me, because it gave us a preview of what to expect. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. like it really did give us a preview of what to expect. Going forward. So we got to meet with Phison. And if you haven't heard of Phison, they actually make the controllers that are in quite a lot of SSDs out there. They're one of the big, I think it's Phison. Who's the other one? Marvel,
Samsung, obviously. Oh my gosh, why can't I think? Wasn't SMI?
Yeah, so like
Commotion, yeah.
Yeah. So they're one of the bigger ones. And what they were showing, because again, Phison does not make a commercial product. They don't make a product that we as consumers can buy. We'll find their controller in products we can buy. But what they were showing at the show was that they have a 8 terabyte NVMe. So we haven't seen 8 terabyte NVMe drives yet. But they had one that was working with their controller, which is pretty nice, using QLC memory. So this is like, we saw it first here, and now you're going to see it come out in drives a little bit later. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Which is really, really cool. And then they had a 16 terabyte SATA SSD using their controller as well. So
that's what I'm really excited about.
Yeah, 16 terabytes on an SSD. I think, you know, slowly people are finally getting into like replacing normal hard drives because capacities have increased. And that is, you know, I'm pretty pumped for that. So that's like, again, I think you'll see 8 terabyte on NVMe late this year, and you'll probably see 16 terabyte on SSD, maybe not this year, but probably moving into next year. So like I said, it was cool to visit with Phison and kind of see all that stuff, because this is like a year away, I think, on a lot of these, when you're going to see it in actual consumer drives.
Right.
Go to the chat, because I haven't been looking at the chat. Mod Killer, Corsair, yes, Corsair had kind of like a showroom. He asked if Corsair had a showroom. And yes, I do live in Pittsburgh. I don't like to give out exactly where I live, but I do not live in Westview or Ross. I actually grew up in Westview, but I don't live there now, for those who are asking. But yeah, that was CES, man.
No.
What did you? That's a lot. We're almost at an hour and a half on the podcast.
That's just some of what we saw at CES.
Yeah, and that's right? Not even all of it. As I said, we do have bring it up here. If you just go on the website and click on CES 2020. That has like everything that we covered.
Yeah, there's lot more on there that we didn't cover tonight.
Yeah, so check out that page. I'll bring it up here for you guys as well.
We'll be covering some of that as well on the 13th on Home Gadget Geeks podcast. You can check them out over at theaverageguy.tv.
February 13th.
Is that not what I said?
You just said the 13th.
Sorry. February 13th.
Yeah. February 13th, we will be there. And we'll put it out on social media and everything where you guys can go ahead and check all that out. But coming next week, we're finally getting back to reviews. I feel like I haven't reviewed a product in forever. But first, talking about those Aorus monitors, I got one into review. So I'll be taking a look at the Aorus CV27Q. This is their 27-inch 1440p gaming monitor, 165 hertz, 1 ms response time, 1500R curve. So pretty excited to check that out. And then I did say coming soon, this mouse that's right here. This is the Cooler Master MM711. Lightweight gaming mouse. Basically, they've taken their MM710 and they've added RGB lighting. So I felt that was missing in the last one. So again, this Ultra Weave cable, in love with it. I love the Ultra Weave cable.
That stuff. It's yeah, so soft.
Yeah. So that will be coming next week, and then you will be reviewing the Arctic Liquid Freezer 2, which. I thought like the pump design is a little interesting on this. If you guys can see it.
Well, it is. And what a lot of people, I don't think realize is there's that little round piece.
That's the flow meter.
No, that's a VRM fan.
Interesting. Yeah. The thing that I found interesting about this one is that the tubing comes directly off of the pump block. And I feel that kind of, you know what I mean? Kind of would be hard for installation because the ones like I'm looking at my NZXT Kraken, it's on the side so I can easily move it. Mm-hmm. These look like they're fixed and you can't move them around. So I'm interested to see what kind of how your installation goes for that one. So
yeah, they everything's pretty fixed on it. So taking some of the pictures was a little difficult. Just to like get things to lay how I want.
Yeah, I hate that. I'm like, please stay.
Stay.
Mike asked if there is a Twitch stream after the show. Yes, we will be streaming on Twitch. I will put up the Twitch page.
I've got my name right here.
Yeah.
There it is. That works too.
There it is. So definitely
10 or so minutes after yeah, we go offline here.
But we also, at the end of the podcast, we talk about if we did anything. I mean, we were at CES, so we
yeah.
But did you have? I mean, you had your new camera there. I mean, how did that go?
I mean, yeah, new camera. I mean, I got it like in February or March. I got it after CES last year. But I used it. Seemed fine. I didn't use my new lens setup with it. I just didn't want to experiment with it. Like while we're trying to do work, like I didn't think that was the best time to do it. I'll just get some more time in on that. I talked about that lens and adapter on the last podcast, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the whole last week was just engulfed in tech. So I didn't buy anything. I didn't want to see any new tech for a couple of days because it was just overload, right?
Yeah.
I did get my Disney Plus set up today though, so I can start watching Mandalorian.
Yeah. It is good. I have to say Mandalorian is very good. It's definitely worth checking out. Monokiller asks if there are any job openings. Not currently, but hit us up on social media and we can kind of talk about that if that's something that you're interested in. I haven't done, you know, I got to use my new lens that I bought. You can kind of see it. I can't even point that way.
There you go.
Right there. That's kind of the setup that I've been using to film the A-roll for most of our CES videos. I got to use that this week, which was kind of fun. It was kind of challenging because this is a fixed lens. There's no zoom. So to get some of the shots, we kind of had to move things around and do all that. But yeah, that's pretty much it. Traveling, tired, CES just kind of killed us, which I think it does every year. But I did have a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun this year.
It was good.
Yeah, we had some good times. So
we met a lot of good people too, right? Like, yes. You know, obviously met up with some folks, like we said at the beginning, but met Jeff and Steve from Craft Computing, met yes. Adam from Epos Fox.
Yes.
Ran into them multiple times throughout the week. So
yeah, I feel like
check them out.
We were just like running into them everywhere, it seemed like, which was really cool because they're really cool guys. Yep. Obviously, we got to see Andy from eTechnics. Peter, I forgot about you. We did a Best Tech of 2019 video with them. So if you want to check out their channel for that as well. But yeah, that's pretty much it, guys. We're going on just we're just hitting an hour and a half right now of our live stream, so we're gonna end things here. Check out twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. We will be gaming on there. Apex Legends, the new, what is that called?
I don't know, it's like duos, like all gold. I think everything is gold.
The event is called the Grand something. I don't know. We're gonna play Apex Legends here in just a little bit. So go to twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. For everybody on the podcast, we appreciate everybody listening and coming in on the live stream. If you are listening on audio, of course, you can subscribe. It's just Think Computers, all one word, in your favorite podcasting app or software, website, wherever it may be. And we do have the full show notes page. So if you want to follow along, it's linked in the description of whatever you're on. It's linked in the description. So go ahead and check that out. We are going to get to gaming. So we'll catch you guys next week.